I invite you to turn to your bulletin and look at the scripture lessons and join me reading together the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, which is bolded in your bulletin. Would you join me reading together in one voice? In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. As the scripture says, we cannot be in the will of God without giving thanks. Anyone who wants to be in the will of God must be thankful. If you and I are not thankful for whatever reason, we are not in the will of God. Did you also notice that to be thankful is also a command of God? That means that if we are not thankful, we are disobedient to God. Anyone who wants to be obedient to God, therefore, must master and practice it all the time, which is to be thankful in all circumstances. Now, before I proceed, I'd like to recap the messages that I have preached so far on the topic of gratitude. If you remember, I designated the year 2014 to be the year of the gratitude, and I promised to you I would preach 6 sermons altogether, and today is number 4. So I would like to recap the 3 messages that I preached so far. First of all, in January, I made a distinction between 2 English words, between thankful and grateful. And grateful is to be used in the appreciation of something good that happened to you. No one is grateful when bad things happen to them. Thankful, however, covers a wider territory. It is an intentional act of trusting God even in adversity. In other words, you can be thankful only when good things happen. However, you cannot be grateful when bad things happen. However, you could be thankful even in adversities. In March, I talked about what helps us to stay thankful. That is worship. Worship is the key to staying thankful because it shifts our focus from ourselves to God. Even when we have nothing to be grateful for in our lives, in worship we can still remain thankful for God's attributes. That is, God is good and His mercies endure forever and His faithfulness lasts from generation to generation. In March, I talked about the 10 lepers who were all healed by Jesus one day, and only 1 out of 10 people came back to Jesus to thank Him for the healing. The lesson for us in the story is not for us to put off the opportunity of giving thanks both to God and to people. As soon as the occasion arises, let us be thankful and express our gratitude. That was the sermon. And today I'm going to talk about 3 blessings that we may miss out on if we are not thankful. You see, in our Methodist teachings, we believe in 2 means of God's grace. That is, 2 ways or channels, if you will, through which God's blessings flow onto us. We call those means of grace sacraments. And there are 2 sacraments we celebrate in Methodist Church. First one is baptism, and the second one is the Lord's Supper, or commonly called communion. And each time we partake in these sacraments, we are blessed by God. And personally, there is another one I would call personal sacrament, the means of God's grace personally, a personal way of receiving God's blessings. It is thanksgiving. If I don't do this, if I don't give thanks to God, I miss out on God's blessings that are lavishly poured out onto me. My lack of thankfulness, in fact, would block the flow of divine grace in my life. Like you have a cup, the lid, if you put the lid on the top of the cup, that would keep the water from freely flowing into the cup. Now, if you agree with me so far, then we can proceed. In the scripture, I can easily identify three blessings that we may miss out on if we are ungrateful or even unthankful in any circumstances. And they are the peace of Christ and the effective prayer life and God's miracles. And let's think about them one by one. Christ's peace. At this moment, I invite you one more time to go back to the Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. But let's read verse 15 together in one voice, shall we? Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Now, please pay attention to the semicolon that divides the entire verse in two sentences. The first one ends with one body, and semicolon, and then be thankful. I'll come back to that. And I'll read the rest of the verses to you. Verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. You might have noticed that in each verse, there is a word such as thankful or giving thanks or thankfulness. Now, if you look at verse 15 one more time, you will see that thankfulness is equal to the peace of Christ in our heart. Giving thanks, to me, is the foundation of God's peace. You want to have peace, then give thanks. And no giving thanks means no peace in Christ. And please note here that Paul the Apostle is not merely talking about any kind of peace, not human peace, nor the world's peace, nor the peace the money can buy. But he's exclusively talking about Christ's peace. The peace that only can Christ give, and the peace that the world cannot give or understand or take away from us. And God's promise of such peace is given to those who are thankful. Now, as I said, let's pay attention to the semicolon between the two sentences in verse 15. In Greek grammar, by separating the two sentences with a semicolon, the author further explains in the second sentence what he means in the previous sentence. In other words, the preceding sentence is not complete without the following sentence. And sometimes the author repeats the same thing twice in a different way to emphasize the point. Here the apostle tells us that without the second sentence, we cannot have the first sentence and vice versa. In other words, only those who are thankful in all circumstances can have the peace of Christ, and only Christ's peace helps us to be thankful even in bad circumstances. Now please note here too that Christ's peace is a gift promised to us by God, to which we are called. God has called every child of God, you and me, to receive the gift of peace in our hearts. It is God's will for us to have it, keep it, and use it as an umpire to rule in whatever we do and say. Now, I'm sure every one of us would like to have that peace of Christ to dwell in our hearts, the peace that surpasses all understanding and the peace that transcends all circumstances. How can we have it? Simple as this, by being thankful. You know, about 40 years ago, I was getting ready for a college entrance exam, and there about a month, period of month, that my heart was torn apart because my guidance counselor in high school wanted me go to number two college instead of number one. Of course, my mother disagreed with the guidance counselor. She thought, like any other mother, her son is the greatest scholar in the world. So there was just some disagreement going on between my mother and my guidance counselor. And at the time, I was 18 years old, and my heart was torn apart. And one day I decided, one night actually, to go to God in prayer. Lord, you better tell me which college should I go. The number one college, sort of Harvard in Korea, or number two college. And I even gave God an ultimatum that if you don't tell me within the next 2 hours, I quit. Did God give me the answer right away? No. So I said, bye-bye, Lord. I'm no more a Christian. I came home. It's New Year's Eve night. So I was eating my midnight snacks. And all of a sudden, I felt God was flooding my heart with thankfulness. I don't know why. But he was telling me, my child, why are you so foolish? And he was showing all the things that he had taken care of me and flooding my heart with thankfulness. And for the next 2 weeks until the day of the entrance exam, I could tell you with all my heart, I was in total peace that surpasses all understanding. So my suggestion to you for this following week is this. Experiment with the following. Try to be unthankful, even grumpy if you want, all week long, and see if you can still have Christ's peace in your heart. And I bet you cannot. On the other hand, try this one too. Try to be thankful in everything this week and see if you have God's peace in all the time, in you all the time. And I bet you will. So what's the first benefit of being thankful? It's Christ's peace in your heart. The second benefit of being thankful is being effective in your prayer life. And once again, I invite you to read together with me Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Shall we? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't it amazing? Wherever you see, thankfulness is there, even in the prayer life. To me, thankfulness is a key to effective and answered prayers. If you want to enhance your prayer life, bring your request to God in thanksgiving. If you feel like my prayer has not been answered for some time, check it out whether you've been bringing in thanksgiving. If you look at verse 6 one more time, you will see the best antidote to your spiritual infection, something called worries. It's prayer. The people of God have tried this medicine for thousands of years and proved it works. Prayer cures and kills our worries. And in fact, Christ commands us to regularly practice two things as a means of curing our worries. Prayers for ourselves and supplications for others. Let me share with you a secret of prayer that would make your prayers and petitions far more effective than before. That is, wrap your prayers with thanksgiving. In other words, present your prayers with thanksgiving. This is what many of us and most of us typically do when we pray. We bring our requests to God like a shopping list. Typically we ask God, Lord, please do this and do that and do this and do that for me. And then we say amen. That's a typical pattern of prayer. How about this time wrapping our prayers up or even sandwiching them with thanksgiving? In other words, why don't we begin and end our prayers with words of thanks for what God has done for us and for our family? I remember some time ago, one night, I decided to pray differently than usual. So I started with thanksgiving for all the things God has provided for me and my family, and in fact, in my entire life. It was a long list over, 50 years of my life. And for the next hour or so, I was totally immersed in thanksgiving. Lord, thank you so much for protecting me in certain time. And you could remember all yourself too. And for the next hour, as I said, I was entirely immersed in thanksgiving. And my heart was overflowing with gratitude. My soul indeed was in heaven. And by the time that I wanted to bring my prayer requests, I didn't have to, because I felt God already heard and knew what I needed. So one more point here on supplications. I told you that supplications are more like a prayers on behalf of others. When you make a plea on behalf of your loved ones, especially prodigal ones. Do not intercede against them. Let me repeat. When you make a plea on behalf of your loved ones, especially for the prodigal ones, do not intercede against them. This is what I mean by against them. Do not start a prayer something like this. Lord, my son, for example, has been very bad, you know. He's been a headache to me, and he hurt so many people. That's interceding against your son. Instead, intercede with thanksgiving. Begin with one thing or two that you are thankful for him, no matter how small they may be. Something like, Lord, it's been a while since I heard from my son. But he called me once on Mother's Day, 10 years ago. And I'm still grateful for that. And you start, move on to your petitions. The point is to wrap up your prayers and petitions with thanksgiving. You'll see the difference when you do that. And here's one thing that I recommend to try to this week. Whenever you pray to God, wrap up your requests with thanksgiving and see what happens. The last benefit and the third benefit that we can get after being thankful is God's deliverance. One more time, I invite you to read together Psalm 50:23 in one voice. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God. Once again, here we see giving thanks to God is directly related to God's deliverance. When you thank God, it prepares the way of God's salvation for you. And thankfulness precedes God's deliverance. Do you want God to rescue you from troubles? I bet you do. And do you want God's miracles in your life? Yes, all of us do. Then offer your sacrifice of thanksgiving to God. To me, thanksgiving is like a cleaning my living room before I invite the very important person, like President of the United States. I would clean my living room before I do that. Same thing. Do your part of being thankful, and then God will do his part of delivering you from your troubles. And I'm going to just introduce to you a couple of people who have just did that and experienced God's miracles. First one is Jonah, and the next one is Jesus. We all know who Jonah is. Who was the Jonah? Sunday school lessons. He was the guy who was stuck in the belly of the big fish in a complete darkness, and imagine that, being in the big fish's belly, and he was covered with salt water and seaweed. He stayed there how many days? 3 days. I bet he was very miserable. And if you read Jonah chapter 2, you will see him thanking God in the midst of his misery, and following verse, in verse 10, immediately he experienced God's miracles. The fish spat him out onto the dry land, and his thanksgiving paved the path for salvation. Let me read it to you exactly from the Bible. Jonah's prayer, chapter 2. Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish. In verse 9, he prayed to God, I'll sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I'll pay, and salvation is from the Lord. In verse 10, then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry land. Do you see the sequence here? He gave thanksgiving, and then the Lord commanded the fish to spit him out. And the other person who experienced God's miracle after giving thanks was, of course, Jesus our Lord, when he fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. John 6, chapter 6, verse 11 reads this. Jesus then took the loaves, having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated. Notice the sequence of actions. He took the bread, gave thanks, and then God's miracle happened. You'll see this pattern over and over again. God's miracle is done after the thanksgiving. As for closing, I want to say, do you want to be thankful? And then do not rely on your feelings, because they may never come. Rather, learn to use your willpower to be thankful to God in all circumstances. Begin with small things and do it more often every day until it becomes a part of you. Because practice makes perfect. Why thankful? If someone asks you, you can answer now, because it prepares the way to have Christ's peace in your heart and effective prayers and God's miracles. Be thankful in all circumstances because it's God's will for you. Let's bow our heads and pray. It's very simple when God says, this is what I want you to do, or we call God's will for us. You say, rejoice always and pray without ceasing, and be thankful in all circumstances. So Lord, help us to stay in your will by being thankful. And when we do, we'll enjoy certain benefits, such as Christ's peace that rules in our hearts and minds, such as effective prayers, and such as God's deliverance. Help us to be the person, and in fact, the master of being thankful in every single circumstance, whether it's good or bad. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.